Morning, saints. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. A great opportunity we have to come together as the body of Christ, to come around His table and to share a meal with Him and to encourage one another. You guys been encouraged this morning? Whew, I have. We're going to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 this morning, and we're going to read the first 16 verses. When Jesus saw the crowds, He went up on the mountain, and after He sat down, His disciples came to Him. He opened His mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you falsely, saying all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God in heaven, thank you so much for the great lengths that you have gone through to communicate not only yourself to us, but the faith that you ask of us. That you, leaving your place in heaven, came down. The Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ, that He could not only preach to us a message that we could understand, but show you your very character to us. Thank you so much for Jesus. Just pray that we would continue to let our light shine in a world, so that when a world looks at us, they see that we are different, and so that it's for your glory. And may we see, according to Jesus' words, who we are supposed to be as kingdom citizens. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is going to go for the next 3 chapters and 111 verses. The greatest message ever preached. The Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has got a message for the world to hear. Jesus is willing to teach anyone who's willing to listen. And the Scripture says that the sheep hear His voice, and the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. Jesus Christ has got a message, and anyone who is willing to listen can know truth and hear His voice. You know, when I read the opening here, it encourages me to shift my priorities, to be a willing listener, to open the Word of God. You see, because Jesus is still speaking. His Word is living and active. Let's come to the mountain where Jesus is teaching, and let's be willing to listen. Jesus saw the crowds and went up on the mountain. And after He sat down, the disciples came to Him. He opened His mouth and He began to teach. May we be excited to listen. May I jump ahead again here in verse 13. And He says, "You are the salt of the earth." Verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden. Do these things to glorify your Father." You know, it was my wife's 5th spiritual birthday. Mine was last week. I'm a year ahead of her. 6. Yeah, I remember when I sat down to study the words of Jesus, you know, with Luke Wilson, this is where I started reading my Bible. And the reason why I chose the Sermon on the Mount is I was interested in the character becoming of a kingdom citizen And so it is that Jesus is teaching. Here, Jesus is going to lay out the character becoming of those who wish to enter into His kingdom and to continue to partake of His light. You know, the kingdom citizen does have an attitude of gratitude. You know, James would tell the church to consider all things joy. The member of Christ's body has an attitude of gratitude, mercy, patience, even in the face of persecution and mourning. Not one of karma. Not one of revenge. But one of great kindness and patience. You know, in understanding this message, to some degree, it kind of is important to refresh yourself with the political climate in that time in Jesus' day. You see, this message didn't mesh very well with what the people were looking for from their Messiah. You know, they got the Sanhedrin set up to kind of be that buffer between the overzealous and overbearing Romans and the persecuted Jews. They're not too fond of the Roman. Romans taking their money, taking their land, and infringing on their law. And here comes the Messiah, the self-proclaimed Messiah, Jesus from Nazareth, saying, "Turn your cheek. Pray for those who persecute you." I saw a very interesting video this week. A Christian journalist went into Israel and interviewed Israeli citizens with questions submitted to him by his students. And the question was, who is Jesus to you? You see, Judaism reigns in Israel. Jesus was a good guy, but he wasn't a prophet. And he certainly wasn't the Messiah. So when he asked, who is Jesus to you? Most of them said, the leader of the Christian religion. That would be like someone walking up to me and saying, who is Muhammad to you? A guy? A leader of the Islamic religion? And so were their answers. But the reporter pushed. Many people claim that Jesus was the Messiah to the Jews, a man born a Jew under the law. How do you know? And Jesus wasn't the Messiah. Almost every single one of them said, because his message did not match what our book and our law expected. And when he pressed them a little further, the only thing that they could quote were the oral traditions being passed down in their culture. You see, the message that Jesus Christ brought about the kingdom and of those who are participants in it did not fit very well in this time. And as Dave pointed out, it still doesn't today. You know, the kingdom of God isn't encased in some geographical boundary. It isn't led by a general Jesus who is marching into a physical war, liberating Israel, liberating the Jews from the suppressive hand of the Romans. It exists in righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God exists in the power of the new creation. And everything, every physical thing, lends weight and testimony to the power of the Spirit of Christ, who is still working in each and every one of you if you've been immersed into Jesus Christ. And that the power of the physical creation is there to communicate the power that's inside you to overcome. That when you pray for patience and God gives you opportunities to exercise patience, you're patient. That power for the changing of the inner man. And Jesus is appealing to the inner man, the character of the kingdom citizen. You know, we remember back here, we've been working through the book of Matthew. Chapter 1, verse 21 says, "She will bear a son," in reference to Mary, "and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The very purpose that the Christ left his seated position on the throne and came down to this physical world in the flesh was to save the kingdom people from their sins. Not a nation, not as a general, but so that you can win your battle against sin and against self. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 29. Verse 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. Jesus begins by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You know, oftentimes I've said, I is in the center of sin and pride. And the two are going hand in hand. Pride is the very thing that's keeping the gate small and the way narrow. And the thing I appreciate about the example that Jesus gives us about those who enter the kingdom is that the pathway doesn't broaden after people make it through the narrow door. It is pride that makes the door that leads to salvation small and the way to heaven narrow. Jesus says in Matthew, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must first deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." You know, where is the I in your life? Is your life revolving around you? Are you the center of your universe? Do you become preeminent in the things pertaining to your life? And as I ask myself the question, and I'll ask you, what if you left right now? What would be impacted the most from your absence? The church? Or your job? Really, what would be impacted the most from your absence? Where is the I in your life? Blessed are those. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who recognize that God is the center of their purpose. God is the center of their pride. Let those who boast, boast in the Lord. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, and we're just going to read the first four verses. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and the God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." You know, if there is any get-rich scheme that I can buy into, it's the kingdom of God. The one that in a blink, in a transition of a confession, a faith, an immersion, you can be part of a kingdom that is paved with gold. You know, everyone in this life mourns. It's the very nature of our world because sin has entered into it. I couldn't imagine withstanding the pains of this life not to gain heaven, where those who do mourn will be comforted. That is the only destination where those who mourn in this life truly can and will be comforted for an eternity. I'm thankful for the message and the encouragement from Jesus. There is rest for our soul. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Inherit the earth. Well, I'm not particularly interested in the earth. So why does Jesus say this? I know many of you have thought about that. Some of you guys have asked me. You know, in order to conquer this world, you know, you basically have to either enslave everyone in it, or you got to sell your soul to the devil. You know, we read Matthew chapter 4. That was Satan's ploy on Jesus was, well, hey, you know, if you just worship me and honor me as God, you know, I'll give you all the kingdoms in the world, yeah, and their glory. And so that's one way. And the other way is just to take it all over and make them all prisoners. So how is it that the gentle can win the earth? You know, don't war to win this world. Don't climb on the backs of others, on people, as you attain world domination in the economical marketplace. Philippians says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Jesus is saying that it is those who are gentle who truly reap a reward. It is those who are gentle that can receive a prize without cost. You see, because if you conquered every kingdom in this world and you didn't make it to heaven, did you really win in this life? Maybe you led a powerful, successful company at the top, president, CEO, Levi Strauss, and you never led anybody to Christ. Maybe you achieved the pinnacle of entrepreneurial success, which seems to be the great thing in America today, you know, but your children didn't make it to heaven. Did you really win this life? Blessed are the gentle. You see, because this war that we are fighting that Roger brought out is won in the households who are being led by gentle spirits. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 was brought out this morning in class. It says, but first seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't use people in this life to get things. Use things to get people. You know, if you want to inherit the earth, you want the prize that cannot be bought, seek God's kingdom. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 3 says that the Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger. You know, I keep eating as much pizza as I can for my $11 at Pizza Ranch, and I still wake up hungry the next day. The Lord said He would not let me hunger. Scripture also says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's brought out again. That doesn't mean if I'm seeking the Lord's kingdom and His church and reading my Bible, I can have that boat. I really want that boat. I like to fish. I like the water. You see, it doesn't work like that. You have to seek His kingdom, but you also have to seek His righteousness. And when you want the things that God wants, it makes it pretty easy for Him to give you what you want. You see what I'm saying? When you seek the things that God wants, His people and righteousness in this life, He can answer that prayer. You know what? Sometimes the boats are a part of that, and that's great, but only if it's a part of God's kingdom and His righteousness. The Lord will satisfy those who thirst for His righteousness. You know, are you praying for the people on this board on Wednesdays? I appreciate the handful of you guys that come up here and take pictures of it, because you're going to go home and you're going to pray for them. Are you really praying for the Word of God to spread rapidly in Billings? Are you praying for the church as a whole? Are you praying for those who aren't here? Who should be? You see, those are prayers that the Lord can answer. Seek first His righteousness. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See, can't the Lord satisfy in any circumstance for the furthering of His will? You know, I think of that Ethiopian eunuch that's driving in a desert place. For that area was a desert place. And he's hearing the gospel message as Philip begins with Jesus from the prophet Isaiah. And there's enough water to get baptized? Like, in? Can the Lord provide and satisfy for His will? You know, I think of King Hezekiah. You know, this poor guy, you know, Israel's already fell to the assault of the Assyrians, and now the only basically remaining city left is Jerusalem, and he's in it and they're surrounded. They can't win. If it goes to war and they breach those walls, it's done. And Hezekiah says, "Oh Lord, I pray that you would deliver us from the hand of our enemies so that the world may know that you are God." Are the things that we're doing in our lives so that the world may know that He is God? That's a prayer the Lord can answer. Can He satisfy those who hunger and thirst for His righteousness? How many people did Jesus feed with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Scripture says 5,000. I can't get my mind. What did that look like? Rip, give, rip, give. Where's it coming from? Were people watching Him? Is this a magic trick? 5,000. Can the Lord provide for those who are there to hear the gospel message? You bet. All physical examples. How much more can He provide spiritually? What is the purpose of the power that's been given to the church so we can have fish and make sure that Russia doesn't come and wipe us off the map? Or is that we can have power in the inner man to win the battle against sin and against self? I was really appreciative of the reminder this morning because I pray for wisdom every day. Am I acting wise in the opportunities that I've been given though? I pray for patience every day. That's a hard one for me. You know, I'm always picking on Walmart from up here. You know, because they just won't schedule one more cashier. You know, so I go to the garden center. Guess what? That idea is come and gone. Because everyone else is over there. Man, I thought I was smart. But am I actually exercising patience in the opportunities the Lord's given me to be patient? Can I do it? The power that said, "Let there be light," in the universe expanded, lives in me, so I can execute patience at Walmart. I am encouraged by Ephesians 3, so that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. That's the purpose of the kingdom citizen. You know, these battles we have aren't external, they're internal. Okay? A lot of us, we have different personalities and different skills and abilities. But I tell you what, if you pray for something and you honestly desire it in your heart, the Lord will give you opportunities to grow in it. And you can become someone that you didn't think you were. You know, from talking to a lot of you lately, the thing I've been hearing is people in the world have been telling me I'm not the same person I was a couple years ago. Guys, I'm not necessarily good at preaching, but I will tell you that senior year in high school, I came up front to give a speech, and the knees were shaking, the heart is beating, you know, so bad that like your whole body's going thum, thum. And I went, could not speak. That's never happened to me before. I've always been really nervous in front of people. I couldn't speak. I walked up, and then I sat back down. And this is high school, right? So it mattered. Like, that was a big blow to, you know, my popularity agenda. So then I went to college as a mature 18-year-old, and the professor says, this is a 101 level class. If you don't feel comfortable in front of the school, you can give your presentation in my office. And that's what I did. And now I'm here. Knees are still shaking. Okay. If you pray for something with the purpose of being able to further God's will, He will answer that prayer. So pray to be strengthened in your inner man through the Spirit, because that's what He's there for. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. This one just seems pretty simple to me, guys. Where was Aaron on the Day of Atonement? Kevin perks up. Where was Aaron told to sprinkle the blood in the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement? Mercy seat. You know, that area that God hovered right over? Do we have a merciful God? Has Jesus Christ shown us great mercy? Hebrews 2 says, therefore, He, Jesus, had to be made like His brethren in all things, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. There it is again, for the sins of the people, a merciful and faithful high priest. And so I'm reminded of what is there that any person in this room, and I'm going to single out this room today, what is there that any person in this room has done that Christ can't forgive? There's nothing. So what's holding us back? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Forgive and forget. You know, in Luke's account, Jesus is recorded as saying, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. What is there that Jesus can't forgive? And what a part of being conformed into His image do we get to bring malice and an unforgiving heart to the table? Be merciful. Kingdom citizen, called to be merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You see, only a heart that's been cleansed through faith is a good heart in the eyes of God. No matter externally the good things you're doing in this life and the impact you're making, a good heart is one that's been cleansed by faith through Christ Jesus. Doesn't Luke write, the good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. 1 John chapter 3 says, We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Beginning in verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink, and I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, and feed you, and thirsty, and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or naked, and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." You see, a pure heart can only produce a love for the brethren. I'm extremely encouraged by the assembly here in Billings. A genuine love for brothers and sisters in Christ. Who are you going to sacrifice for this week? I'm talking about budgets, it takes a plan to execute one, and the spiritual things are no different. Got to make a plan. Got to pray for that patience. Then you have to recognize the opportunity to act patiently, and then you have to be patient. Who are you going to sacrifice for this week? Sometimes, most of the time, it's doing something that you just flat out don't like. I know for myself, that's usually a part of it. You see, because sacrificing for other people means meeting them at their level, and I don't like all the same things you guys like. But we sacrifice from a pure heart. You know, when was the last time you brought something for potluck? Feed those who are hungry. You know, if you're not here on Wednesdays, we miss you. Great opportunity. Partake of something that truly builds up the body. We're doing small groups right now. Hey, when you're not here, you are missed. Listen, I have got a lot out of these last few chapters in John and really opening up my mental picture of Jesus and his ministry and his ability to exercise patience and kindness with his adversaries and with his disciples who were willing to listen. But the other half of that is the fellowship I get with getting to know some of you guys as we work together in spiritual warfare, discerning what the word of Christ says. If you're not here, you are missed. You know, maybe some of us are thwarting an opportunity to spend some time in fellowship with like-minded brethren on Wednesdays. You know, there's a Wednesday fellowship group for anybody, you know, 18 to 30. Maybe we're foregoing an opportunity to grow our relationships inside the body. I encourage you to be here. Who are you willing to sacrifice for this week? Jesus or a brother or sister in Christ? You see, because what Jesus is saying is the two are the same. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Isaiah chapter 59. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, maybe all them beauty pageant winners have had it right all along. What's the influence and contribution you're going to make as Miss World? World peace. I will be the one to bring about world peace. I'd be curious to see what the Lord has to say. Isaiah chapter 59, just the first two verses. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so he does not hear. If you have unforgiven sins, if you have not been born again as a son of God, your sins are separating you from God. There is no peace in your life. You see, the pageant winner isn't going to bring about any kind of peace in this world unless it's according to the gospel message. It's not about countries getting along so we can fight global warming together, or putting up with each other enough to where we're not invading each other's borders. That blows my mind. What possible reason could you come up for in this life to put enmity between you and someone else who's a created person in the image of God? A boundary? Blows my mind. Killing people over property. There is one hill I will die on, and it's the gospel message. And when that flag gets put up, Dave, in Billings, and I make my stand, maybe sometime down the road, I'll be willing to die for that cause, because that's a spiritual boundary. Not a physical one. There is no other way to have peace in this life than through Jesus Christ, who covers a multitude of sins. Now, you want peace in your life? Become a son of God. If you want the people in your life, bring them the message of the gospel and lead them as son of God to Christ. The world cannot be at peace until it is at peace with God. Flat out. There is no such thing as peace in this world until mankind has peace with God. Until those sins that are separating them between them and their God have been forgiven and forgotten. Then there can be peace. Jesus Christ is the only one who brings this peace to mankind. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say on all kinds of evil against you because of me. It's pretty simple. John 15:18 says, if the world hates you, Jesus is speaking, he says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Jesus' message was one that caused his own people to reject him, because it was of one of persecution and having a pure heart before God. You know, in one sense, it kind of is a barometer for how you're doing. You know, people hate you, probably on a good path. And Scripture does say, beware of men who are spoken well by all people. Okay? There's something there. So in one sense, it's a good barometer. Are you rubbing the world the wrong way? When you walk in, is your light actually casting sunshine on the darkness and those and exposing their deeds? They ain't going to like it. It is a good barometer. And Paul writes Timothy saying, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Let's finish up here. Verse 12, rejoice and be glad. For your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's close in Acts chapter 5. I hope this message has been encouraging this morning. I know I'm encouraged by the, you know, titled Beatitudes in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus pleading towards the heart of mankind as he begins to teach a very powerful message on the character becoming of kingdom citizens. That's us. Jesus is teaching from that mountain right now, and every time you open your Bible, gather around as he listens, as you listen, because he's willing to teach. Verse 41, fleeing persecution, slapped on the hand and sent out. These guys are flogged, beaten, and then told to leave. Peter and the apostles. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Messiah. rejoicing because they were considered worthy to suffer for His name. If it's not already making an impact in your life, it will. Be ready to stand. Jesus says the kingdom citizen is blessed when he is persecuted for following Him. The poor in spirit in this life get trampled by the proud. The merciful in this life get taken advantage of by the greedy. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness get called egoists and haters. How can you call yourself a saint? How can you stand on a principle that discriminates someone else's life? The gentle in this life are beaten by the wicked. The peacemakers in this life are outcasts. When you bring a true message of repentance for peace with God, pushed out as an outcast, they went on their way from the presence of the council rejoicing, for they had been considered worthy to suffer for His name. Now, blessed are the citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We are extremely blessed. Be the salt that seasons everything. Every opportunity you come in contact with, make it better. You see, I like salt because it makes everything good better. And that's what we've been called to do. Season every opportunity in every situation in your life with gentleness, being merciful, being willing to suffer shame for His name's sake. And be the light that shines in a world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Guys, there is that one, if we make any kind of number of trips to Bozeman, there is at least what, one house on the highway that we recognize every time we drive by. Because at some point in our life it stood out to us. And that's the beacon that God's asking us to be to the whole world. And when there is truly darkness, any glimmer of light truly does shine and stand out. My encouragement tonight is to shine and stand out in the world for the glory of the Lord, understanding the character becoming of a kingdom citizen. Let's stand.